God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Mark 10. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Dear friends in Christ, so this rich young man came to Jesus with a question. "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" That's a common religious question. Many people believe that religion is about doing good to earn God's favor or to get in good with God and to inherit eternal life. Notice there are two red flags in his question. First, what's this business about good? Jesus says, "No one is good except God alone." So unless you believe me to be God, why are you addressing me as good? And this young man believes that Jesus is clearly in the good category and no doubt believes he's in the same category. He's a lot like us. I don't murder, steal, commit adultery, lie, gossip, or dishonor my parents. I'm a model citizen. I've kept the law since my youth. I don't drink, I don't chew, and I don't date girls that do. Notice, sin not only leads us to do what is wrong, but it also blinds us from seeing the wrong things we've done. And yet for all of his riches, this young man is keenly aware that there's something missing in his life. He's empty. He finally realizes that there is something that his money can't buy. It can't buy God's favor. It can't buy peace with God. It cannot buy true joy. It can't buy eternal life. It can't buy forgiveness of sins. It can't buy a good conscience. Do you want me to keep going on? However, he's got a second problem. He still believes that he can earn God's favor by doing good works. So he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" That's the second red flag. He doesn't understand what it means to inherit something. A person doesn't do anything to inherit something. You inherit something when you're in the good graces of someone who loves you when they die. Inheriting is not by doing. Inheriting is by undeserved love, being in the favor of the one who died and who, in his good graces, left you in the inheritance. So, what will Jesus do? How will he answer the young man? Jesus knows that lessons learned most deeply are the ones learned by pain and suffering. And so Jesus lets this pious young man experience a bit of his own religion firsthand by informing him that if he wants to gain eternal life by his doing, he has to do good works, even to the point of losing everything. Jesus is about to trap him in his own religion of works and his own love of money, to teach him that the only way he could ever be saved is by a free gift. So Jesus replies, "You know the commandments, but just in case you weren't paying attention during catechism, let me give you a little review. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." Now, this young man had been raised religiously to think he can keep God's commandments. But what most religious do-gooders forget is that doing good does not just refer to our external works. It also deals with what's in our hearts. Remember what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount. If you've lusted after someone, you've committed adultery in your heart. If you've hated someone, you've murdered them in your heart. If you've coveted, you've committed idolatry in your heart. But this young man still doesn't get it. So he says, "Teacher, I've kept all of those since my youth." And he meant it. He was sincere. There's a lot of people who are sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. He really believed he kept the commandments, but he didn't look at his sinful heart. What does Jesus do? He looks at this young man, pickled in his own commandment-keeping brine, and our text says, Jesus loved him. And it's because Jesus loves him that he wants to save him. And it's because he wants to save him that he has to show him his need for a Savior. So Jesus goes right to the heart of the matter. One thing you lack. Go, sell all your possessions, and give the money to the poor, and follow me. That hit home. The young man's face fell downward to the ground, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Remember, Jesus spoke these words in love. If he discouraged him, it was the pain needed to show him that his God of riches and works, or his God of money and religion, couldn't save him. So this really hit home for the young man. Remember, Jesus did it because he loved him. Something was missing in this young man's life that caused him to ask the question of Jesus in the first place. He was rich at a very young age. He could buy anything he wanted. He believed he had kept the commandments perfectly. Yet his riches and religion couldn't get rid of the gaping holes of emptiness and meaninglessness and discontentment in his life that only God can fill in his life and in yours. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus' answer is, get rid of all those things in your life that are getting in the way of seeing your Savior, and follow me. You almost miss it, don't you? The young man missed it. All he heard was the stuff about selling everything and giving the money to the poor, another commandment and one he does not want to keep. But he missed the answer to his question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The answer from Jesus is, follow me. Those were the words spoken to the fishermen, James and John, to the tax collector, Matthew, follow me. More than just an invitation, remember the words of Jesus are enlivening words. They are dead-raising words, enabling the hearer to do what they say. Here was the answer the young man was searching for. He lacked one thing. In all of his riches, religion, and commandment keeping, he lacked one thing, and that one thing was not poverty or piety. It was Jesus. This was an invitation to life, an invitation to salvation and meaning and purpose. Jesus was offering himself and a relationship with himself with the words, follow me. And if you really want to have life, whatever gets in the way of following Jesus has to go. This young man needed not only to lose his love of riches and his trying to save himself by the performance plan. Above all, he just needed Jesus and his love. Paul said the same thing when he looked back on his life as a Pharisee in Philippians 2. And he said, but whatever gain I had, I count it all as a loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes by the law, but that righteousness which is by faith in Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by all possible means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Life is not simply a matter of riches. In fact, riches can be a hindrance to salvation. Jesus goes on to say it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, which is effectively impossible. Jesus spoke those words to his disciples who literally gave up everything to follow Jesus. Peter even reminds Jesus of the fact, just in case he forgot, "Lord, we left everything to follow you." The disciples may not have been rich, but they had the same religion as this young man. "Look at all we did for you, Jesus, to follow you. That must count for something in terms of earning salvation." Jesus' goal in this young man's life, your life and mine, is to get in the way of anything and everything that would rob us of our salvation. He has to get in the way of everything that gets in the way of him, or that gets in the way of our following him, to the cross where he died to forgive us, to the empty tomb where he rose to conquer our death, and onward to heaven. So what does Jesus need to do to get in the way of sin in your life and mine? And what does Jesus need to get in the way of in your life and mine? Our riches, pleasures, comforts, ego, pride, self-righteousness. What would Jesus say to you and me? Looking on us in love, wanting us to be his own, embracing us in his death and resurrection, what would he say to us? What is it that's getting in the way of your hearing the words of your Savior, repenting of your sins, and receiving his forgiveness in life? What junk is getting between you and Jesus? It's not worth losing Jesus over. I wonder if that rich young man went home to all of his possessions, stuff, and money, and somehow it just didn't seem as important anymore. Maybe he looked around at all of his possessions and thought to himself, "This stuff isn't what life is really all about." Paul tells Timothy, "Naked we came into the world, and naked we will leave. You can't take it with you. There are no U-Hauls following funeral hearses. If all you have are your riches and your performance, you will never be satisfied in this life. In fact, your money can even cost you your life if it gets in the way of following Jesus and clinging to his cross, an empty tomb alone for salvation. If it gets in the way of dying to the sinner inside you and daily rising with Christ to new life." Perhaps this rich young man went home, stuffed all his possessions onto his ox cart, and dumped it all off at the local Goodwill, and went running down the road as fast as his legs could carry him to follow Jesus. Or maybe it happened years later, when this young man heard the news that Jesus died on the cross, and how Jesus gave up everything he had, even his blood, as he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And maybe then he remembered the conversation, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Follow me." We don't know the full story of that young man, we're not told. Will we see him in heaven? We don't know. But we do know the full story of Jesus' road to the cross, where he died for the sins of that young man whom he loved, where he died for all of our greed, covetousness, idolatry, immorality, whom he also looked on in love. At the cross, Jesus gave this young man and each of us what we lacked, and what we could neither earn or purchase: a forgiving death and a victorious resurrection that gives us entrance into God's good graces and eternal life without any merit or worthiness in us, simply through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus spoke the same enlivening words to us in baptism. Now follow me. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? First and foremost, it does not mean to keep his rules or to be commandment keepers. That's secondary. Primarily, it means to die to your sinful self and rise to new life through faith in Jesus, who, as 2 Corinthians 8, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich, truly rich, rich in God's unfathomable love for you, rich in so much forgiveness you'll never run out, rich in drinking his priceless blood that saved you, rich in having a risen Savior who swallowed up death forever, rich in God giving you his entire kingdom as a free gift. It's only after we follow Jesus to his cross and through his tomb and take him at his word in Romans 4 that he was put to death in his body for our sins and raised to life for our justification. It's only after we've received the riches of his grace that his words, follow me, reorient our lives, our wallets, our checkbooks, our time, our talents, our treasures. There is great joy in giving back to the Lord, who has so richly prospered us, not only with earthly gifts, but with his riches in the heavenly realms. Why would we ever dare to give God the riches and first fruits of our earthly possessions? Here's why. He gave you his entire kingdom when he spilled and spent his priceless blood to make you his forgiven child. And that's who you are. You are God's child. Jesus' blood says you are. Why would we ever give back to God of all the riches he gave us? Because in Jesus, you're back in the family. You're back in your Father's good graces. You're back in the Father's will. You're back in the Father's inheritance. And all of it is a gift received simply by faith that takes God at his word, that everything that is God's is now mine for Jesus' sake. You don't do anything to inherit eternal life. God gives it to you freely in Jesus. And so you've got your inheritance back because of Christ's cross. His entire kingdom is yours. And anything that gets in the way of your receiving it, whether religion or riches, will have to go. God will see to it that it goes because of his love for you. He will get in the way of anything that would rob you of the riches Jesus bought with his own blood. Life forever with God in paradise, where we will feast face to face with God and there know fully the inexpressible love of our Savior Jesus. In Christ, we are the richest people on earth. Amen.